Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The other verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. These are just two verses that I've just selected here tonight. There are many other verses that give emphasis to the power and the importance of the message of the gospel. But this is just two that I've chosen for this service tonight. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Amen. Now, if the gospel of Jesus Christ is so important and so powerful, then we need to talk just a little bit here tonight about what we're talking about when we say the gospel and the value and the importance of the gospel. The word just means good news. It just means a message of good news. And it would be accurate to say that all of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is good news. It's all good news. But specifically, when you talk about good news to someone that's lost, then we know that we are talking about Jesus. We are talking about what Jesus did, and the wonderful plan of salvation that we understand, because not only do we understand what the Bible says about it, but we know as Christians, we know it because we've experienced it. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ. So the gospel is really just to simplify it, it's just a message of good news. But I think that we all understand that it as it relates to those that are lost. You see, if I were a millionaire, which I'm not, but if I was a millionaire, and I got word that I had inherited $1,000, I probably would just kind of smile and say, "That's nice." But if I was completely broke, if I was 6 months behind on all my bills, if I had just got an eviction notice, if I had no source of income and no way to solve the problem of the mess I was in, and I got word that I had inherited $1,000, I would not say, "That's nice." I would say, "Praise God. Praise God, this is pulling me out of the hole that I was in." Now, that's the difference when you talk about the gospel and how important that it is to those that are out there in the world, to those that are bound by sin, to those that are in need and don't even know that they're in need. They don't even understand why that they're in the trouble that they are in. They don't know. Proverbs 25 and 25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And the Lord has chosen you and me individually as believers, collectively as the church, to be the messengers of the good news. Messengers of the good news. Really, that's what the church should be involved in. Many, many things that we are to fulfill as far as the call and the ministry of the church. But primarily, we're to be involved in the activity of telling the gospel of Christ to sinners, giving them the message with the hope and the prayer, and our intention is that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we have a great and an awesome task to fulfill as the church to a world that is really in need. And there are many out there by the hundreds and thousands of people that they are just spiritually dead, spiritually empty, spiritually bankrupt, hopeless. They have no answers and no source
of hope. And that's why you can come as a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you can give them good news. Now, it all sounds really good, doesn't it? If it would all just work the way that we can think, we live it out in our minds. I give them the message about Jesus, and they receive it, they get saved, and everything turns around, and isn't that wonderful and glorious? But many times, it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes it does. But many times, it doesn't happen that way at all. The Apostle Paul here describes some of the things about the gospel in these two verses. Let's start here with Romans chapter 1. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." What is he saying? I'm not ashamed. He meant that sometimes it requires a great deal of courage and boldness to give the gospel, because many times the gospel is initially rejected. In the beginning, it is often rejected. So Tommy, don't be discouraged. Whenever you try to share the gospel, it takes a lot of courage, and it seems like that much of the time that it's being rejected. Well, a few days ago, I heard the little radio program that we air from Johnny Erickson, and I always listen. If I'm tuned in and I hear her coming on, I pay close attention. And Johnny Erickson was talking about that. Her and her, there was a team, they do a lot of ministry to children and different ones who are handicapped in various places all over the world. She was actually traveling to Israel. If you can imagine that, in the physical condition she's in. She was traveling, flying to Israel. And it was her and her husband and others with the team that she was in, that were going with her. And the schedule was she was flying from the United States first to England, and they were going to spend the night there, and then they were going to go on to Israel. And so she said that whenever they loaded off the plane and loaded onto a shuttle bus to take them to their hotel, that when they got on the shuttle bus, that she said to the driver, I think the lady's name was something like Keisha or something like that, and she said to her, "Well, we're going to pray for you that you can get us safely to our hotel. And we're going to pray for you right now." And so her and her husband and others that were there with her prayed for her. And she said, I noticed in the rearview mirror that she was making a face like, "These people are weird. Who are these people? These people are strange." She said, but we went ahead and we prayed for her that she would be able to be safe on the highway and get us to our hotel, and we made it safe. And she said, then that night, my husband and I, we prayed for Keisha, that the Lord would open her heart up to the gospel, and that somehow, as she said, in the next morning, when we loaded up, we also, before we left the hotel, we also prayed for this lady, thinking that they would never see her again. But when they got to the shuttle bus, there she is again the next day. This time, just overnight, she's totally changed. Now she's coming to her and she's saying, "I don't know what it is about you people, but there's something different about you." And as she began to pour out her needs, and they had an opportunity there. She said, she didn't actually get saved right there, but it was such an open door and an opportunity to let the gospel do its work. Amen. And sometimes it takes courage. Apostle Paul described this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 13. He said, we are being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. He was saying, listen, you're going to be viewed like that you're nuts and crazy. The world is not, initially, the world is not going to understand. They're not going to receive you. But don't let that stop you or discourage you. But let the gospel start its work. Amen.
So that's what he's saying there in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and to the Greek. It doesn't matter if what their nationality is, what their religious experience and past has been. If they're not born again, it's this message of the gospel that's just given out in little bitty pieces at a time. Sometimes we can overwhelm people by trying to hit them with the Romans road. That's like the six verses of Scripture that, and I'm not saying don't memorize those and don't mark them in your Bible, because there may be times when you will need to lead them in these verses of Scripture. But oftentimes it's just the simplest little thing that you do. It's just your testimony. It's just your willingness to offer to pray for them. It's understanding that the gospel has power in and of itself. Amen. And it can do a work. It can do a work, and you don't have to press it and pressure it, but just let it do its work. Amen. Amen. There's a scripture at Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. Now, it's describing the blade, maybe an axe that you're trying to chop wood and you're not getting anywhere, and you work yourself to death, you wear yourself out trying to get the job done. But if you'll just stop, take the time to whet the edge, sharpen it real good, then every blow will count. Every blow, if you'll whet the edge, if you'll sharpen the blade, it will work. Amen. Some of you guys that work with tools, you know that if you've got a dull drill bit or a dull saw or anything is dull, it is just going to work you to death. And you're probably not going to get the job done if you don't have that tool that's sharp and ready. Actually, most tools, if they're sharp, it don't take a lot of your effort. A drill, if it's good, if you've got a good new sharp bit and you put it in your drill, it just kind of takes it, it just goes. You don't have to drive it and push it and pressure it. This is the way it is with the gospel. Sometimes we think we got to pressure people and we got to, you know, somehow wrestle them down and make them listen to the gospel, and then finally we can convince them that they need the Lord. But that's not the way it is. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel has power in and of itself. The simplicity of it. It's hard for us to comprehend this, but just a little word of good news to somebody that's in need is like a drink of water to people that are lost in their sin. Just a little offer to pray for them, or an expression of your concern for them and your desire to help them and to reach out to them is the beginning. It's a seed that's planted, and it has power to produce results. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It takes courage. It takes boldness to proclaim the truth when a lot of times people reject it, maybe laugh at you, make fun of you. Paul said sometimes you'll feel like you're the filth of the world, that you're the offscouring of the world. But in reality, it's this gospel message that it has an impact. It's powerful. It has the strength and the power of God's Spirit and God's power in this message. That's why it's such good news. Amen. Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Sometimes we think, if I could just get this formula down, to know what to say to people. I've even had people say to me before, and I would witness, I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. Now, it is important that we be careful and we pray about words that we would use. But sometimes it's just in your willingness to realize that your words in and of themselves are going to be pretty weak. Amen. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Also in power
and in the Holy Ghost. The word just means dunamis. It means it's the Acts chapter 1 verse 8 word for power. It's the Greek word dunamis, which means, you know, power, explosion, miraculous power. The power of God. The gospel is not just in words only, but it has power in and of itself. Power to have an effect upon the lives of people. The power of the gospel. Amen. Demonstrated in your testimony. Sometimes, even without words, it talks about the fact that the believing spouse can influence the unbelieving spouse without words. Without words. That's what it says. They don't say a word, but they just live the life. They are before them as a testimony of what God has done in their life. They live, they show love, they show mercy, they portray goodness and reaching out to that person that doesn't deserve it. And somehow God, through the power of the gospel, it is good news. It's a demonstration to those that are lost when they see your life, your testimony, your willingness to be like Jesus before them. And they see Christ in you. When they see Christ in you, then there's power. There's something that's started, that's initiated. There's a seed that is sown. There is power that results because of God's power in the message of the gospel. The gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Somehow we need the presence of God, the Spirit of God. Evangelism is a message of hope to a lost and a dying world, but it's a supernatural message. Amen. Because if Christ can take a person who's bound in their sins, that person that as the song said, the vilest of sinners only has to believe, and that person can believe upon the gospel, and they're received of the Lord, and their life is transformed, turned upside down. Now that is miraculous. That's wonderful. That's amazing. And so you know that whenever you're sharing the gospel, that you're a part of that. You're getting involved in what this wonderful plan is that God has for in bringing that lost person. And so you have it's the power of God. It's the working of the Holy Ghost. And in that hour, He will bless you, and He will anoint you, and He will give you words to say. Amen. So that you will be able to speak. You will be able to be used of the Lord to be a witness and a testimony to the world that is in need. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Amen. Confidence that assurance that dispels all the doubts of that person. You see, a person that is lost, their mind is darkened, their understanding is darkened. They live in confusion. They can't see the truth. They can't understand the truth. There's only one way that the darkness can be dealt with, and that's with the light of truth. That's with the power of the Spirit of God that breaks through all of that darkness. And there's this spiritual awakening in their mind and in their heart. And they don't even understand for sure what's going on. They just know that there's something supernatural going on. They sense in their spirit because it's the gospel. It's the gospel. And it goes forth in the power of the Holy Ghost. And with much assurance, it dispels the doubts. It causes them to have a confidence and assurance that God is working. Amen. In much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. They sacrificed. They put themselves in dangerous circumstances. They lived a holy life before them. And Paul was saying, you see how we have lived. It was selfless. We've done this for you. We have done this. And that's how you came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's how that those that are out there in the world are going to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's through your willingness to sacrifice
and to give and to minister to them and to pour out the love of God to people that are in their need. Amen. He told Timothy, who was shy, timid, backward about doing his job, preaching the gospel. He said, Timothy, God didn't give you the spirit of fear, timidity, but power and love and a sound mind. But the next verse, it says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There is a price to be paid. There is sacrifice that's involved whenever you become a messenger of the gospel. No free rides. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. You're going to have people who are going to slam the door in your face. You're going to have people who are going to reject you. You're going to have people. It's not always going to be easy. He was telling Timothy, don't be timid about this. Understand that this gospel is a gospel of power and love and sound mind. But don't be afraid or ashamed to identify with this gospel, the afflictions of the gospel. Amen. Don't be afraid of that, because it will turn around. God is at work. God is at work, and He will change the circumstance. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but it encourages me. I've been thinking and meditating a lot on this. It encourages me to know that God wants to use us, and we need to just kind of back up just a little bit and reevaluate the situation. And those that you want to get saved, and you're concerned about them getting saved, and you should pray for them, and you should be used of the Lord, but let the gospel do its work. Let the gospel do its work. And when the opportunity comes, then just be used of the Lord. Maybe a lot of times without words, just show love, just show mercy, just show the love of Christ. Let there be a demonstration of Jesus Christ. Let them see Jesus in you. That's a wonderful message to people that their lives are so messed up in sin. If they can see in you the living Christ, then it is a powerful message. Amen. Praise God. And He's allowed us to be a part of this glorious, wonderful plan, whereby we can present the gospel, the good news, to people that are in a far and a distant land, dry. We're just like a little drink of water to those that are dry and in such need. Amen. That's what the church needs to be. They don't need to see you and say and dread your coming. Oh no, here he comes again. He's going to preach at me. That's not the way. It needs to be. Oh, here he comes again. I just enjoy when he comes. He stirs me, and he ministers to me, and he loves me, and not too many people do, and he cares about me, and the gospel is doing a work. Amen. The gospel is doing a work. I just want to challenge you tonight, for some of you who have been concerned about lost loved ones, family, friends, different ones. Understand that you're a part of God's plan to bring that person, no doubt, to Jesus Christ. You may not be the only person. There very well could be other people who are playing a part in bringing that person to the Lord. That's okay. However God wants to do that. But don't mess up. Don't fail to be what God is asking you to be. Don't miss the divine appointment, the arrangement by God to be a minister of God's love and mercy to people that need that so much. Amen. Desperately needed. I don't mean to oversimplify it, because I know that there needs to be much prayer. There needs to be confidence and trust in the Lord backing you up. But let the gospel do the work. Let the gospel do the work. Offer to minister to that person. Offer to pray for that person.
What can I do to help you? How can I minister to you? What is it I can do to show the love of Jesus Christ? You know, sinners are oftentimes irritating people. And you just want to get a hold of them sometimes and shake them and say, why don't you straighten up? Why don't you get saved? Why are you living the way that you are? That's a carnal response to them and the circumstance that they are in. What do they need? They need to see the gospel. You need to see it lived out in your life. It needs to be a message of good news. Amen. Quite often, you know, as a pastor, I've had people come to me and say, can I talk to you? I've got a problem. Immediately, my mind shifts into gear and I'm thinking, whoa, what is this? Is this something huge? Is this something big? What is this? Big, big, big problem? Usually, it's not really all that big. But I don't like to hear bad news. Do you? I sure don't like to bear bad news. I've had times when I got news that I had to take to someone that was devastating, terrible news. It's a horrible thing to have to be a messenger of bad news. I'm so glad that the Lord has called us to share good news. Amen. Amen. That's what they need to hear. Most people in their sin, you know, they're just bound in that sin. They can't see their way out of it. They see no way to get freedom and victory. You've got to give them hope. You've got to give them good news. You have to give them a message and communicate it. Like I've said many times, even without words or few words, but just communicate good news to them and let them know. Jesus, He can bring you out of that. Jesus can save you. Jesus can deliver you. He's your hope. You can turn to the Lord. It doesn't have to be a lot of words, but you can communicate that message of the gospel. Remember, the gospel is always good news. Amen. Always good news. So let the gospel work. The gospel works best when you let the gospel do the work. Amen. Just let it do the work. Amen. And trust God that this is the power of God unto salvation. This message has power in and of itself. And it will accomplish what God sends it forth to accomplish.